and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. It is I, Mike, being joined by Brian. We're not doing Ranger Colors because, quite frankly, so many things are in flux that I've just given up.
Yeah, I don't blame you, bud.
Is that fair?
That's totally fair.
Okay, good. So with that, we are rocking at three episodes. We are rocking True Blue to the Rescue, Invasion of the Body Switcher, and Survival of the Silver. We're going to start right off with True Blue to the Rescue, where the synopsis for this episode is that escaping from Diva Tox's clutches, you remember her? Yeah, she was kind of cool. Yeah. Storm Blaster returns to Earth to recruit help and recruit in rescuing its teammate Lightning Cruiser. And after the Space Rangers are captured by Elgar and Lionizer, Storm Blaster reunites with the former Blue Turbo Ranger, Justin, damn it, who then heads off to save his old friends. So we start the episode. Obviously, we see Storm Blaster and Lightning Cruiser. They're enslaved by the Piranatrons. And Lightning Cruiser actually is the one to set Storm Blaster free, and it drives off back to Earth. Possibly the best thing to come out of this escape is the phone call between Diva Tox and Astronema. Diva Tox calls Astronema to let her know about this about Storm Blaster escaping, and he's like, "Hey, you know, if any of your guys find it, just let me know and I'll send an army to go, you know, bring it on back over here and stuff like that." And then Astronema's like, "Well, if I find it first, I might just capture it for myself." And then you just see Diva Tox and Astronema get like all catty with each other.
Yeah, like I loved it. It was so much fun. Just like Diva Tox, just like, "Oh, look at me, I'm Astronema. I have to appear." And it's like, "Oh my god, yes, like please, just give me like a whole episode of this."
Yeah. So eventually Storm Blaster goes to Earth and the Space Rangers comes to its aid because they notice Storm Blaster heading towards Earth from the ship. And then there's Justin with a montage because, well, this is what, the 18th episode? Yeah, this is the 18th episode of In Space. So a lot of people have probably willingly forgotten about Justin. The flashbacks that we are shown are from the episodes The Wheel of Fate, Trouble by the Slice, which makes me feel like Ben should be doing this episode just because of Trouble by the Slice being montaged into this episode. Sorry, Ben.
Sorry, buddy.
Little Strong Man and Chase into Space Part 2.
And so we do get to see, yeah, like we finally get to see what Justin's been up to, and one of those things was he got a haircut. Thank God.
It's not a good haircut.
It's better than his last one, at least.
Honestly, I'd rather have kept it slightly longer because this cut makes him, I don't know, it makes him look like a character that we're going to talk about in a later episode that you and I are doing.
Fair enough. I think after this episode, by the way, he has a few tattoo appointments in his future. But oh wait, no, that's just Blake. Anyways,
see Justin show up with all the tattoos that Blake Foster has now.
Right? It's like, whoa, what happened to you? It's only been what? It's been like 6 months.
Although it's funny though, because oh no, it'd be like one of those like 25th anniversary type things or whatever. But I mean, but keep in mind, with all the times JDF has come back, you know, they've always done the makeup to cover up his tattoos.
Yeah.
So they probably do that to Blake as well, if Blake ever
Yeah,
returned.
probably.
If there's ever a return of Power Rangers.
Yeah. Dad, for those not in the know, he has like full sleeves on both his arms now.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
But anyways, so we get through the montage, and Storm Blaster shows up to get aid from Justin, and they go off E.T. style.
Yeah, no, I caught that. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but still. I was like, okay.
I mean, this is the most sci-fi season of Power Rangers.
Yes.
So they go off E.T. style, Storm Blaster phone home. Stormblaster then takes Justin to where the Rangers are, and a kid in his pajamas beats up Quantrons. This is a
Yeah.
thing that happened. A kid in pajamas beat up Quantrons. Then Kid gets Morpher back and rescues the others. This is a thing that
I
happened.
have questions about that.
I have more
So,
questions.
yeah. Okay. So, obviously, it's shown that Justin still has his like power enhancements while fighting the Quantrons because he's not just immediately like knocked out by them in his pajamas. So, my question is, if the command center was destroyed and his powers are linked to the turbo powers, then how did he morph? Like, wasn't his connection to the morphing grid severed?
The
And it
only thing I can logically think of as the logical one of the group, I guess, is that this is a special morpher set through Stormblaster, and the powers are directly through Stormblaster.
okay. Well, then, and I'm gonna pull a Ben here. If he can morph into a Turbo Ranger again, then why wasn't he there during Countdown to Destruction?
Because Stormblaster and Lightning Cruiser were captured at the end of the episodes.
Oh, right. Well, okay. Well,
That
still, I
that's
mean.
the whole reason why they're under enslavement, because they were, I think it was Chasing the Space Part One. That's when Lightning Cruiser and Stormblaster were captured.
Right.
Because they're fighting with the Rangers to defend the command center. And then they were captured, which is why we see at this point in episode 18 of In Space, Lightning Cruiser and Stormblaster captured and
Right.
enslaved.
Right.
So yeah, that would be that would that is the explanation to that.
Okay.
Ha ha. Anyways, he rescues the others, and then the Rangers defeat Lionizer, but obviously Astronema makes him grow for a hold on, what sword is this one again?
It's the Mega Voyager.
Oh, it is the Mega Voyager.
Yes.
Okay, so it's for a Mega Voyager Megazord battle. LOL, John Cena wins. Or in this case, Megazord wins. Sorry, we're
Yep.
always going to reference like John Cena every time it comes to a Megazord battle, because they're always like, LOL, Megazord wins.
Until like the end of
Yeah,
the
until like
season.
the end. The team then goes after the battle, the team then goes off to fight off the rest of the Piranatrons and rescues Lightning Cruiser. And Lightning Cruiser and Battle or Stormblaster
Stormblaster.
are to never be seen ever again. Period. But there's a great moment when everyone's unmorphed before Lightning Cruiser and Stormblaster go away, because obviously Stormblaster is the one that has to take Justin home. There's a moment when everyone's unmorphed and Andrus is just staring at Justin in his pajamas, and he just has this realization of like, Justin is a kid in his pajamas.
Right.
Like, the look on Andros's face is like, this is a kid in his pajamas. What the hell is going on here?
No wonder there were only four of you. Like,
Yeah, the kid couldn't come. The kid couldn't get his permission signed by his father so he could get on the ship to fly up to space.
And so like that happens, and Justin's, he gets into Stormblaster and he says, "Hey, if you ever need me again, I'm always here." And that's the last time we ever see Justin on Power Rangers.
Until technically Super Mega Force Legendary Battle, when the Blue Turbo Ranger shows up in battle, but obviously he's not unmorphed.
Right.
Because technically speaking, everyone comes back in that episode.
Which, again, there's so many questions about that, but we will save that for when we get to Super Mega Force.
I can't
But
wait to see everyone's brains melt on that one, except for mine, because I went through it with an open mind going, this isn't as bad as everyone makes it out to be.
I mean, it isn't, but you know, again, like, I don't know. I try and keep an open mind too, because I always try and remind myself, this is a kid show.
And not only that, but I mean, obviously we're deviating slightly, but when oh dang, I'm blanking on the guy who played the green then black ranger, or the black then green ranger in Megaforce, Super Megaforce.
Oh, I can't
I'm
remember his
blanking on the
name.
actor's name, and I bought pins from the guy at Power Morphicon, and now I feel embarrassed. you know,
He was his character was Jake, right?
I believe so. Hold on, let me just do a quick search because I'm an idiot.
Yeah. I can't remember the Sentai character's name in Gosager, where he was the Black Ranger, but I do know in Gokaiger the Green Ranger was not. Yeah.
Azeem Rizik. He was the one who played Jake. But the thing with him was is that like because he was actually helping write episodes, and he openly admitted that there was a lot of things because he had watched the Sentai, so he knew what was there, and there was a lot of stuff that he wanted to bring over that they could not get. Because he even said if they could get over a lot of the stuff that he wanted to bring over for Super Mega Force, it probably would have been a better season than what it was. So it's
Oh my.
also kind of working with what you're getting to work with type of deal.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I would love to hear what he wanted to bring over and couldn't, honestly.
Yeah, I think he mentioned it because we were both at that panel in 2016. It's just been almost it's been like
Yeah.
eight it's been like almost yeah, about a little over 8 years when we went to that panel.
It's been 84 years.
It's
Yeah,
been so long.
it's been a while. So yeah.
But anyways, that was True Blue to the Rescue. Brian, any additional comments, notes that you want to bring up? I know there's not a this episode is not going to be very Sentai heavy. This is going to be very Sentai light, and I think this is the most Sentai we're probably going to get out of this conversation with this
Yes.
episode.
So, feel free to add an echo effect in here in post. Meanwhile, in the Sentai, there's not much here. We have Megazord fight footage from episode 33, which is Giddy, the girlfriend from the moon, which if you've been following along with us, I've been laughing every time I've seen the episode titles for Mega Ranger. Because it's like phrase and then like long drawn out thing. Anyways, the only kind of comparison you can make is that there was a Denji Sentai Mega Ranger versus Car Ranger movie, and we didn't even use any footage from that because there was no viable way to have all of the Rangers from Power Rangers Turbo and in space on screen at the same time. Because A, they're already all on screen at the same time, and B, it's like, why would they go back to the turbo powers? How can they even go back to the turbo powers? And like, whatever. It's just, you know. But this was, there is a movie in Japan, again, called Denji Sentai Mega Ranger versus Car Ranger. And Mega Silver is actually in that movie while, you know, Zane is still in the healing chamber, a la, you know, Nora Freeze. And actually, in that movie, the Turbo Megazord or the RV Robo does make an appearance, whereas we didn't get that here because it got destroyed. So, yeah, nothing. Yeah, I mean, but Power Rangers has a nasty habit of destroying Megazords, man, I tell you. But, you know, it just, yeah, that's about all I got for you.
All right, well, with that, we're going to move on to our next episode, which is Invasion of the Body Switcher. Which, for the synopsis, it's Ashley's birthday. An astronomer decides to capture Ashley on her birthday and use the Body Switcher's special powers to take on the form of the Yellow Ranger. Astronomer infiltrates the Astro Megaship and captures each of the Power Rangers except for Andros, because for some reason, every time we do an episode where the Rangers get captured one by one, Andros is the one who never gets captured. Interesting. Yes. Ashley tricks the monster and Elgar after transforming into Astronema, which aids her escape so she can save her friends before it's too late. So going off into the meat of the episode, as mentioned, it's Ashley's birthday. Whoop-de-freaking-do, I guess. And Andrus is confused with celebrating birthdays, but gives her a gift anyways because apparently they have birthdays, they just don't celebrate them on KO35.
Right.
Astronema, she's thinking about how she can do it, and she goes, "You know what? I want to switch bodies," and has the body switcher make her look like Ashley. Which we'll talk about Melody Perkins and Tracy Lynn Cruz in a bit because I like what they do with this episode.
Oh my God, me too. Yes.
I think you and I won the episode lottery this season with this episode.
Yes.
Which, by the way, we don't actually have a lottery. We just randomly pick whatever the hell episodes that are available.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's obviously some that like are either off limits or hey, we're all doing this one, but then like it's kind of a crapshoot.
But anyways, Cassie and Ashley are talking about Andrew or taking a walk while talking about Andrews when Ashley is kidnapped and Astronema steps in. Cassie obviously hears the muffles behind the bush and she's going, "Oh, what's that?" So Astronema just snaps some Quantrons into action, and this is possibly the best Ashley fight scene we have ever seen. Yawning, just doing the Steven Seagal like no touch flipping of the Quantrons, and then one actually does hit her, and she just launches it into a tree.
Right, that was hilarious, and like, I think it could have only been more Steven Seagalish if she was sitting in a chair doing this stuff. But
What's even better is that like she's watching Cassie to make sure that like Cassie's not looking at her. And once Cassie has defeated all the Quantrons, she just kind of waves off the Quantrons, like, "All right, go away, shoo shoo." And she's just and Cassie is like, "I wonder what that was about." And like Astronema's like, "I don't know. Maybe we should go to the mega ship." Like Cassie just doesn't even notice that like the demeanor of Ashley has
yeah.
completely changed. Like, this is not the same person you were talking to, girl. Come on,
Yeah.
girlfriend.
Like the body language that
Is
Tracy Lynn
completely
Cruz
different.
has here is incredible. And like I absolutely have to give her flowers on this one. It's like it was awesome. And we can talk about that more here in a
Yeah.
second, but yeah, just
So back on the Astra Megaship, Astronema, as Ashley, obviously, searches for the engine room, and Decca is on to fake Ashley. Like, she is 100% in on it. She's like, she knows what's going on. And, she zaps Decca's camera and proceeds to capture Cassie and Carlos. Because Carlos was working out, and, I'm not gonna lie, for those suits that they wear, Astronema being able to pull crap. Her staff just out of nowhere, like did she just like pull it straight out of her butt and go, "Ha ha ha ha, I got you now," because she literally pulls behind her back and pulls it out.
It's wow, like does she have access to like a dark dimension where she could just pull that out of her butt? Like I don't know. And there's also like a scene later where like she has it behind her back, and then like Andros turns around and like she's like hiding it, and you're like, how does he not notice this thing?
But anyways, Carlos, he's actually working out. She adds more weight to the bar, which puts him in a tough position. That's how he gets captured. Cassie, I don't remember how she captured her. One of the interesting things is Astronema as Ashley bumps into Alpha 6. of leaving her to be the real Ashley, gives her a music box as a birthday present and leaves. And this is kind of like a nice moment for Astronema because she's like briefly admiring the gift and laments that no one's ever truly nice to her before. And then she comes to her senses, throws away the music box.
I really liked that moment. It was probably actually it was one of the like more touching moments that we've had so far on the show, I thought. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's a small scene, but I feel like it goes a long way with Astronema's character arc. Without spoiling anything, but yeah.
But so they Andros and TJ are still around on the bridge. TJ tries to contact the others to no avail, so TJ sets out to investigate and spots obviously the damaged camera. And then Astronema is hiding Carlos in the cargo hold. But unfortunately, Carlos is coming too. He makes a noise that's heard by TJ and he goes to investigate as TJ checks on Carlos. Ashley then captures both of them. So she captures Carlos twice in a row. Carlos cannot win in this episode.
Nope.
Then she makes her way to the bridge, prompting Andros to ask if she's seen the others, and she just eludes the question. And then he tries to like go looking for them, but she stops him by showing on the monitor a fake monster on Earth. Although Decca does not sense it, the two morph. The way she goes into the tube is kind of funny because she kind of like she thinks she's going into a garbage disposal, so she like holds her nose as she goes down the tube.
Yeah,
So
get in
down.
there. I don't care what you smell.
Yeah. Listen, it is the ode of Ashley. Deal with it, Astronema. Down on the surface, Andrews points out that everything is fine. And Astronema tries to shoot him, but it stopped because the real Ashley, actually before she's even able to do anything, there's some things that also take place. Ashley tricks the body switcher to make her look like Astronema, and the moment he does it, Elgar and the others walk in. To thus leading Elgar and the others releasing her, and she's like, oh yes, tie him up, and then she just kind of runs away. So Ashley shows up looking like Astronema, and chaos ensues, and then eventually Andrew shoots Astronema as Ashley, and then she goes back to looking as herself, and you literally have Astronema on Astronema violence. So that was kind of cool. I literally wrote in my notes, Astronema on Astronema violence.
Astronema violence. That's good.
Yes.
I've so far I've really liked this episode. I was just waiting for somebody to like be like, yeah, like you have this moment, but I was just waiting for that moment where like somebody's got like a gun on both the astronomers. It's like, which one of you's the real one? Anyways, because it's such a cliche, but
Yeah. Obviously the body switcher is back in action, which brings out the Mega Voyager Megazord battle. LOL, Megazord battle wins, or Megazord wins. And then wait a minute. Ashley just kind of randomly pulls the necklace that Andros gave her earlier in the episode out from under the suit. That's a thing now?
I did not know that.
Yeah, like this episode is the
Yeah.
first time ever that a ranger has pulled a necklace out from under, like, and it's not even, it's like, so you know how, like, they have, like, the yellow or the white thing around the neck?
Like the
Like,
kind of turtlenecky thing.
the turtleneck thing, like, the bodysuit, and then it's, like, the rest of the suit on top of it. It's, like, literally, like, they pull it out, like, she pulls it out from, like, between the bodysuit and the spandex.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And it's like, huh, I didn't know you could do that.
What else can a ranger store in that space? Like, kind of
I didn't
curious.
know they were wearing neck. I didn't know that the necklaces stayed with them. And then obviously we end the episode with Andros has a secret. Na 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 na. Brian.
Yes, sir.
Meanwhile, in the Sentai. Oh wait, there like is no Sentai whatsoever except for like
Yeah.
the Zord battle.
Yeah,
Actually, technically
so
not true. So apparently, according to the Ranger Wiki, the story portion is from episode 37 Y, Chisato's old man's voice,
yes.
and the Zord battle is from episode 49, Utter Despair, We Are Outcasts.
Yeah.
So there is some Sentai, but I'll let you explain it more thoroughly.
It's I will say for Chisato's old man voice, it does show on the wiki that it's like the most it's the best rated episode of Mega Ranger out of the series. You know, it's kind of a similar thing, except for like now like she's got this like old man voice, but the story, there's really nothing else to compare it to. It's kind of its own story, which I can talk about in length in a little bit, but like there's really nothing, there's no meat on the bones to compare that this episode to, honestly. It's just kind of like a another like Freaky Friday kind of thing, but like, you know, there's so much other stuff happening in this one, that like I don't know, it just whatever. Now I will say for episode 49, Utter Despair, We're Outcasts, that is actually like I believe that's the penultimate episode of Mega Ranger, and that plot actually involves the Mega Rangers having their identity revealed to the world, which we can get into that one later, but like I feel like that idea definitely got brought into Power Rangers as well for, you know, Countdown to Destruction, and also another episode that you and I are going to talk about here in a little while. But yeah.
Well, in a little while, recording sense, but a much maybe a few weeks later,
Oh yeah.
episode release wise. So any other notes that you want to bring up for this episode?
I mean, not really. I mean, like, definitely check it out if you want to check out the Sentai, but really nothing that like needs to be brought up necessarily.
And so with that, we move on to Survival of the Silver, which is our final episode of this episode. Starting off the synopsis, while collecting life force samples on the planet Kadix, the megaship is attacked, causing a secret room to open up. Inside it, the Power Rangers find the frozen body of Zane, Andros' best friend and former teammate, the Silver Ranger, who was left in a coma for many years after falling in battle on KO-35. As the Rangers defend the megaship against the Kadix natives, Zane wakes up from his cryogenic sleep and lends a hand, much to the surprise of Andros. So that's the synopsis. Going into the meat of the episode, the Rangers are collecting samples on Kadix when they encounter the Jawas, I mean natives.
Oh, so you had the same thought I did. Okay, cool.
Yes. If you did not think they were Jawas, you are wrong.
They're Jawas and they do interpretive dance.
Yes.
So
And they disguise as trees.
yes.
The Rangers morph to defend the ship from the Jawas, and then they fly away, but the ship was damaged by the Jawas while they're trying to depart. Cassie finds Andros' secret room because of the damage, and the door was just jarred open as a result of that. Carlos follows her into the room, and they discover someone is frozen cryogenically. The rest of the team comes in, and Andros tells the team about Zane, the Silver Ranger, and that Zane has been in this state for about 2 years. And it's a nice little story about Zane. Obviously, Anders and Zane are fighting on KO35, trying to save everybody, and Zane literally risks his life to save Andros. Which is a nice story. It's great.
It's a nice story. I'm just surprised how much KO35 looks like downtown Los Angeles, but that's just me.
Yeah. So Cassie goes to retrieve the sample, but it is hatched into a monster. So she opens up the bay door to get rid of it. However, that she doesn't truly get rid of it, as it just kind of attaches itself to the ship and starts damaging the ship from the outside. So the Rangers head back to Kadix to deal with the monster and the Jawas. Zane wakes up and joins the fight to the surprise of Andros. The monster just grows randomly.
Yep.
Like, there's no Astronema in this episode. There's no Elgar in this episode. There's no Ecliptor in this episode. There's none of the baddies in this episode. It just grows randomly.
Yep.
And we get the Astro Mega Ship Megazord battle for the win against this monster. And then obviously Andros jokingly adds a comment as he introduces Zane to the other Rangers. Zane showing interest to Ashley, kissing her hand. Oh God, we're gonna now have to deal with the love triangle, aren't we?
Yeah. And like I don't know, like I remember watching this episode like maybe 2 years ago, and I actually made a TikTok about it. I was like, oh wow, this is a really cool entrance for a sixth ranger. And then like you finally get to see like Justin Nimmo's face, and I played that clip from SpongeBob where Squidward was like, oh no, he's hot. Because like of course like he's gonna just be like perfect face with smiles aplenty, and like he, of course he's gonna be hitting on Ashley because like that's just how the story is gonna want to go,
Yeah, just to put this out there, I'm reading the errors on the wiki, and given the fact Lunatic, which is the name of the monster, was native to the planet Kadix and had not been shown to have any means to leave, either via flight or teleportation, it is unknown why the Rangers returned to destroy him in the Megazord rather than simply leaving.
Just leave him be. Well, the thing that really kind of I must have missed it. I thought they had to crash land on the planet.
Yeah.
So then when
The ship is damaged. So it's like it's not like they're so I think this error is kind of wrong. Like I think they had to fight it and destroy it to make sure that they could fix their ship and leave.
Which I again, and not to be like a stickler for details, but like if the ship is not able to leave the ground, then how is it able to go back up into space to go into Megazord mode so that it can fight this thing?
Yeah.
I mean, is that just like a reserved auxiliary power kind of thing where it's like, okay, we can't go into deep space and be, going into like the, Beta Quadrant or what have you, but like, we at least have enough reserve power to like get it up there and make sure that it can turn into a giant robot.
Yeah, no idea.
No
No
idea.
idea. No idea.
No
Lots
idea.
of crying in the fetal position. So for Sentai, the Megazord fight footage is from episode 22, Escape Labyrinth of Evil. And the Silver Rangers debut is from episode 24, Running Solo, A Silvery New Face. Why don't you talk about the Sentai?
So his debut there, I'll be perfectly honest, I'm kind of blanking on this one, but like his debut, he's a member, I believe he's a member of INET, and he's, I don't know, he's really kind of got nothing to do with whereas Zane and Andros have this like long history. The Silver Ranger in Mega Ranger, he's just kind of a dude. I
He's
will
just a
say,
dude playing a dude that's disguised as another dude.
yeah, he's just kind of another like he's a trusted associate of like the main doctor on INET, who's like also funding all the Mega Ranger research and stuff and what have you. whose name escapes me right this second. I've had it written down so many times. I think it's like a Kuwabata, Dr. Kuwabata. But it's this season is weird because, like, for instance, I reviewed Grandma Matchmaker, and that was an earlier
I know.
episode.
I was with you.
I'm so sorry. But like in that, like the Silver Ranger has already shown up by the time that like the Sentai got to that particular story that was adapted horribly, by the way. Go listen to that. But like there's been so many stories where like the Silver Ranger is just off in the background because they can't use that footage because they haven't introduced him yet. And part of me was like, how many episodes are we in now? I'm so sorry. I can't remember how
This is
many
the
episodes.
20th episode.
Is this the latest that we've like had a Sixth Ranger appear?
Probably.
Because he takes a while to show up. I don't know. Well, then again, it looks like the Silver Ranger didn't show up until episode 24. Which is weird, though. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of stuff that was out of sequence here, but yeah,
So
there
essentially
was.
you're having what's it called? You're having Zane show up 20 episodes in. That's not how I want it to look. Go back to In Space. come on, work with me here, stupid. Yeah, In Space. So when we look at the episode listing, there are 43 episodes. However, if you take the two-parters and you count them as one, there are 40 episodes. Because you're removing three episodes from the listings. So
Right.
in 40 episodes, you're literally having Zane debut at the midway point of the season.
Which is kind of insane to me that like they took that long to get him in here because I like him. I think he's a cool character. I think the Mega Winger is a pretty cool Megazord. Not that we got to see it in this episode, but like I like his morpher. I like his suit too. And I think this is also like the first time, by the way, that we have. Yes, we had the Gold Ranger in Zeo, but like that was a primarily black suit, with some gold accent. This was like the first time we had like a shiny, like silver or gold suit. And while, and Sentai fans can argue, hey, gold and silver is kind of outplayed now, this suit is very solid. I really like this suit. I think it's just perfect. And the Mega Ranger version doesn't really like I can't really get a fit lock on his personality except for like he's just kind of like support. But Zane, it's definitely like there's like this kind of boyish charm to him in a weird sort of way. And I don't know. I think Power Rangers might have done him a little bit better. But that's just me.
Okay. So with that has been True Blue to the Rescue, Invasion of the Body Switcher, and Survival of the Silver. You hear me? At my papers, put them to the side, maybe burn them. So that's been our episode. Brian, where can the people find you on social media?
You can find me on TikTok at Blue Ranger B Rye. You can also find me on YouTube at Blue Ranger B Rye. I'm actually kind of starting up a new thing now where I'm going to be talking about stuff happening in the Power Ranger universe and also some tokusatsu stuff as well. You can also find me when I'm not working with you and the Voices from the Grid crew. Over at Castwave Studios, trying the nummy yum yums at Two Fat Guys Eat. And Mike, where can we find you?
You can find me on social media at the Lindenbaum75, Facebook, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. And of course, just look up at VFTG_PR on social media and then click on the link tree to find where you can find this show and stuff like that, because everything's on there. So with that, Brian, take us out.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for joining us for yet another more phenomenal episode of Voices from the Grid. Join us next time and be sure to grab your Astromorphers and dial in 335.
And may the power protect you.